Blog Talk Radio.
Here, would you want this?
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Gloria. Hi, this is Robin Misevich. We are going to be at the Crab Pot in Seattle tonight. We are so excited. We went on location. We decided we'd be hanging out with Mr. Jamie on location. So we're just having a great time here in Seattle. So just wanted to greet everybody, and let's go ahead and see who else is here. Hey, Miss Gloria, can you say hello, please? Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can you say hello, please?
Hello, 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 hello. It's such a wonderful day. Oh, we could start singing Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day at the Crab Pot. Would you have a crab? Okay. And Miss Kathy is on switchboard tonight, so we welcome anybody who wants to go ahead and get into our chat room. We welcome you to do that. You can go to show@transformation-cafe.com. It's a place you can go ahead and be doing some messaging. And also at blogtalkradio.com and then /transformationcafe. There's a chat room available there. And she keeps an eye on that, so we can go ahead and have some anything you'd like to be talking about. We'll make sure to be checking that while we're here sitting around hanging out, and she'll be going on her cell phone, too, to be checking on the web. So, Miss Kathy, how are you?
I am fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. I just had a fabulous, fabulous dinner, and it's great.
You ate twice? You're eating twice? What is going on here? You know, I thought you were going to be eating with us, and you already ate? Oh, my goodness. I guess you're just going to hang out.
Huh? Sorry. Happy hour. I had a great happy hour, and now I'm happy.
Okay, she had her happy hour, and now she's ready for the main meal. That's good.
Appetizer, yeah.
And since we're in Seattle, Mr. Jamie, we wanted to greet you and like you to say hello. Hey, Mr. Jamie.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can totally hear you.
All right. This is Jamie.
Well, thanks for your hospitality. Now that we're at the Crab Pot, we're just loving being in Seattle, and the view is just wonderful here. It's great with the Puget Sound, and it's just a wonderful place to come and hang out and have ourselves some crab. So that's good. That's good. So, Miss Kathy, what's our appetizers looking like at the Crab Pot here?
Let's see. I'm looking at the menu. Our appetizers. Well, we have clam chowder and crab cakes. We can have mud pie.
We're having dessert for the appetizer. Okay.
And shrimp cocktails to die for.
Okay.
Bay shrimp or prawn Dungeness crab cocktail. How's that sound? We can have shrimp in the shell. Or coconut shrimp. What, anything sound good to anyone?
Coconut shrimp.
Coconut shrimp. Okay, Jamie likes the coconut shrimp. Okay. All right, we're getting one of those. Don't they have like a crab dip or something? We can have some sourdough bread with it or something. That sounds really yummy.
Yeah. Hey, that sounds great. Let's do that.
Okay, we'll have a dip. We're going to have some coconut shrimp with some crab dip. That sounds good. That sounds really yummy. I don't know. And you know what they have here? Crab Pot has... Well, you can order. You have to order at least for two people, but there's like so many of us, we can totally do this. It has crab and clams and shrimp, and then it has potatoes and sausage, and they cook it all up, and then they put butcher paper on your table, and then they just pour it out for everybody to just eat off the table. What do you think? Sound fun?
Yeah.
That is the crab competition, believe it or not.
Yeah, I'm thinking we want to try that. I'm up for that. You guys up for that?
And I live here, and we tried to eat there once, and it was so crowded that we had to eat in the other place in the same building. But
we're here, and we're sitting right by the water, and it's just lovely tonight. So you know, We saved you a spot so you can just slide on in and come up to the table, and we'll tuck in a little butcher paper to the collar, and you're ready to go, buddy. Here we go. Let's just get the crap going on here. It's all good.
see, Robin and I ate at the Crab Pot on, what day was that, Sunday?
Sunday. We were in Long Beach. We were Long Beach, and now we're in Seattle because it was fabulous.
You're not actually in Seattle, right?
he's thinking he's missing out. You know, like, well, we're pretending, but that's okay because that's what we do at the Transformation Cafe. We always have a little wonderful food with the conversation. So there you go.
Do you have a menu from the Long Beach? It's probably pretty much the same, isn't it?
It's pretty much the same. Is it same as Kathy? Right. She was nice enough to get it on their cell phone. So she took it
all
out
right.
while we're sitting here. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
You know, we have a menu. Yeah, let me check it out on my cell phone. See if the Long Beach one is as thick as the one we're dealing with, we're looking at right now.
Mm-hmm.
La, 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 la.
I'm thinking it's the same.
Pretty much.
Okay, so we got our coconut shrimp, we've got the crab dip coming, and that's all good. So,
you
Jamie,
want some
sourdough
or something there, right?
Yeah, we're having some sourdough bread because you totally want to have that with the crab dip. Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to ask me?
Usually they have chips and stuff they serve with that, but we're just not even going to go there. We're going to go for the sourdough bread. It's good. Just like bringing that on. So is there anything that you've been noticing in the news that you wanted to just kind of talk about?
Well, I haven't really not really. My wife just saw a little thing about you can, if you're cremated, you could have a record pressed out of your ashes with your own voice on it. Right, yeah.
You can say that again. You can what?
So, if or when you kick the bucket and are cremated, you could have your ashes pressed into a recording of your own voice.
Oh, my gosh. That's kind of cool.
Then you have to use it on time.
Can you use it on a CD, maybe?
No, on a record.
Like a vinyl record?
Yeah, vinyl record or acetate one that's made out of your ashes.
Well, can they make a record out of your ashes?
I think they just developed a process where she was looking online about that.
Wow.
Not that I want to do that pretty soon or anything, but.
That's kind of interesting.
Other than that, let me see. My aunt used to own a house. She lived in San Bruno, right there on and San Bruno, you heard about that explosion, right?
Yeah, the gas explosion.
Gas explosion, apparently, the land blew up.
Oh, my gosh. But she's okay.
Oh, we lost him.
Oh, we lost him. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm sure he'll call back. what a time to lose your signal here. Okay, he had to go to the bathroom. Anyway, you just lost him here for a second. Wow. Can you? That was such a shocking thing.
He went to belly up to the bar.
Yeah, he went to belly after something like that. He needed a drink. Okay, I don't blame him. Yeah, he just kind of disappeared for the drink. But they were saying that. I saw a news report about that where they were saying that they had inspectors go out there and check it, and they were highly recommending that they do something about that. So, So it was going to cost like $4,000 or something like that to replace the tank and the lines and stuff like that. So,
anyway, I'm back now. What I was saying
was there
you
was go. My, you said you went to the bar to go get a drink. You went to get
yeah,
a drink.
Yeah,
okay. I'll
there.
Go to
my,
the bar and get a drink. It's okay.
I have an ancient little phone, and my reception isn't the best. But she did live in San Bruno, and it is definitely up in the hill, and it's a kind of a small community. I'm not sure if the house she lived in is gone, but that's something that they're trying to really especially think about now because that was buried. The line itself was buried before all the development was, and now they're kind of saying they're not sure about other areas that are developed now, you know, and that could be anywhere.
Yeah, and they were, I was sharing with those guys while you went to go get your drink that they had been doing inspections and stuff like that, and they had already had recommendations that they take care of that line because it was so old.
So it was very
also, I had read somewhere where somebody else had done some work in that junction of that where that explosion happened, and it was a because, you know, there's all sorts of stuff, utilities and stuff buried, that they had done some other work next to that line and may have kind of disturbed it a little bit. But they're kind of looking at all these options, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that the they haven't really said more about how many people they may have just been incinerated, you know.
Well, I think they, that from what this from the report that I saw, I think they said that they were saying it was only four. But only four in any life is not acceptable.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah. So,
Other than that, in the news, not really. That's about it. I'm just trying to mind my P's and Q's, you know. And
that's newsworthy on its own.
And believe it or not, I haven't had
minding his P's and Q's. Woo! Okay.
Believe it or not, I haven't had a access to a computer at work, so I'm still working on that
hard,
one.
Huh?
It's not the end of the world, but it's definitely a little hindrance. But I'll probably get on that this week.
Well, I think depending on who you are and how much you've had it as a lifeline tool, some people would disagree. So there you go.
Well, I don't really do the Facebook and all that other kind of stuff, but I do like
we had the gas leak, we had the MTV awards. I mean, all these things happening. Plus we've got Julia Hurricane, and we've got Igor coming.
Oh yeah, yes,
too.
I hear
so
that there's
we've got
a
some
giant,
of that stuff kind of happening
hurricane
in there.
Coming in too, right?
Mhm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Let's send love light to those areas so people
absolutely would just see those. Yeah, just see the storms dissipating, and by the time they get to shore, it's just a it winds up just being a heavy rain that just turns into, you know, whatever the land needs, and it basically just dissipates. So it's not going to be any kind of a...
Not to mention, I think there was a big earthquake in New Zealand.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about that.
That was last week, yeah.
Okay, New Zealand had an earthquake?
Church. Those people, too.
Right.
To that area.
Huh?
We'll send them right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Just send light to everybody. We're just sending light to everybody tonight. How about that?
Yeah.
That's just all good. That's all good. Cool. Very good. Well, that's cool. See, there's definitely newsworthy.
Well, there's a couple of things there.
Things out there. Yeah, exactly. Well, I was reading the other day about this dog that got back to their family after 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah, there was this dog. He was 6 months old, and he was in the backyard, and he got stolen by somebody. And then 7 years later, they get a call from a humane society two states away. The puppy had one of those microchips put into his shoulder as they got him. And then because of the microchip, they were able to contact that with the ID system. And they called him and let him know that the dog was there. Now, what's interesting is when the kids were little, the dog disappeared, and the mom and dad didn't have the heart to tell them that the dog had gotten stolen. And they lived in a rural area. They lived in a rural area, and they said, "Oh, the dogs ran after the rabbits, and he's in the forest. You know, he's in the forest and being with the bunnies or something like that, right?" So when the kids found out about it, the daughter said, "Oh, I knew he was always going to come back because he was just in the forest."
Right.
So it's kind of that mind. It's that, you know. Actually, Kathy and I were talking about that earlier this week. About I got the idea of having things being profound and something that's being, you know, you put something out there in the future, whether it's a vision board or anything that you're working on. And who's to say she didn't make a drawing of her dog, seeing the dog come home at some point, and then when she, you know, knew the dog was going to be coming back, she's like, well, of course. You know, I've drawn that and saw that in my mind's eye, and the dog did come back.
Is that what a vision board is?
Yeah, a vision board is like, it can be a bulletin board, it could be a poster board. I've actually done a couple different class presentations where they actually will take little, you know, these little photo books and you can take little pieces of construction paper, go through magazines and look at pictures and things like that that you want to be creating. And the little books are nice because you can do little sectional things where you've got different aspects of your life that you're working on. It isn't like this big piece. It's just like one thing you look at. It could be a little book or something that you put together, and then you would spend time looking at it, you know, two or three times a week or something like that to look at the different things that you're wanting to be.
Feel it, have it. Da 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 da, know it, feel it, have it. Da 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 da, know it, feel it, have it. Da 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 da, know it, feel it, have it. Know it, feel it, have it. You have to imagine it first. Know it, feel it, have it, and then spirit creates it. Know it, feel it, have it. Step into it. Know it, feel it, have it.
Do-do-do-do. See, I forgot we had the jingle. She just gets it on her phone. We just play it up, and there you go. We have jingles while we're eating here. It's just so cool. But that's a very fun and interesting process when you focus on something and put it out there. But part of the creation of all that is feeling it. If you can get into what you're looking at and you can feel yourself in that situation before you even actually see yourself, it actually works at a different level. So it's imagining yourself, you know, in a position where you might close your eyes and feel, what would it feel like if I had that or I was in that situation, and smiling and imagining yourself there before you actually have it on a physical level. It can be very cool.
Very good.
There you go.
Everything I put on my vision board on January 1st has already happened so far this year.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
You did it January 1st, so New Year's Day you sat down and said, I'm making a new vision board for my year?
Yeah.
And it all came true.
She made me do it.
She made you do it. Okay. She made me do it. Oh, okay. Well, and aren't you grateful? Because, you know, it's all come true. So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, and this part of that, too, is that old, you know, be careful what you ask for or what you envision for yourself, because you just might get it.
Oh, yeah. There's a person that I was talking to a while back. She's a nurse. And she envisioned something she wished for, I don't know, like to be able to uncover fraud in hospitals and clinics and things. She wanted that away. And so consequently for the next year and a half, the only thing that she saw, the only thing that came out all the time, and no matter where she was the fraud. And she was in a position to be a whistleblower all the time. And she didn't like that. That there was so much fraud and that she'd have to be the whistleblower, she just went, oh, my gosh. She got a real feel for being careful what you ask for.
Yeah, exactly.
Everywhere
and, you know, a lot
turned,
of it.
She did.
Huh?
Everywhere she turned, every place she worked.
Wow. So, have you ever had anything like that, Jamie, where you thought about something and it just, like, happened?
I try not to envision bad things, of course, but when they're kind of taken off guard sometimes. Not so much myself, but just kind of things that happen around me and or maybe just out on the street and stuff, and just people, you know, people that are a little, or I don't know. You never can tell how people react and, you know, just, I'm an observer sometimes, so.
Well, but you have lots of reactions in your shop.
Well, you know, you never can tell, and it's, you never can tell who will walk through the door, of course, and it's, I just know you have a, one time to make a good first impression, and I try to greet people, and ask them if they need any help.
And that's really where a lot of people have really realized when it comes to the service and being in this place of, you know, no matter what you're doing for, you know, for your job or for your occupation, is recognizing that, you know, it's no longer, you know, what am I going to get out of this interaction? It's what can I do for you?
Right,
you know,
right.
What are you looking for, and how can I help you to get what you need, kind of a thing. So just you totally get out of that whole, you know, I'm here just to make a buck. And it's like, no, I'm here just to provide service and whatever that looks like, whether it's, because I might refer you to somebody else, you know. It wouldn't necessarily benefit from
the discount. I am there to make a buck, but I want to, you know, if somebody's on a budget, I'll make sure that that's known and ask them what they want to spend, especially if you're, you know, if they're on a budget, because a lot of times people are. And it's like a tattoo is not a, it's not a necessity, it's a luxury. So, yeah, you try to not let that person walk out without having something done or at least making an appointment or having them come back, or you never know. Right.
Yeah, I had a, this morning I was going out in my garage to take care of some laundry, and I had my cell phone with me, and all of a sudden I got this impression that I was going to drop my cell phone, right? And I thought, oh, no, you know, kind of thing, and I just, you know, 2 seconds later, dropping the phone. It was like, you know, totally busted open, and my battery went one way, and the lid went one way, and the phone went one way, kind of thing. And I thought to myself, as soon as I had my phone still working, because I'm talking on it, so that's good. But what was interesting is, you know, one of the things that I've heard is that you say cancel. You know, cancel when you see something like that that could potentially occur. You cancel that to just cut that mindset on it, that kind of a thing. So I'm trying to think of
it. You can also just re-envision it.
Right. But, I mean, in that second that it kind of, like, flashed in front of me that was a possibility, you know. It's like, you know, it's just like that too, you know, when you go to sleep at night, if you start really being mindful of your dreams, you can get to a place where you can control what's going on in your dream. If it's going a direction that doesn't feel good to you, you know, there could be enough of your consciousness that's operating that you can redirect it in a different direction, or you can just think to yourself, I don't like this dream, I'm stopping it now. I'm gonna dream about something else.
You're also dreaming that you want to wake up, right? Like,
I'm going to wake up, or I'm going to go someplace else, or, you know,
right.
I'm going to change where I am, or whatever, you know. So that can be really powerful, be very powerful when you can be in a place where you have a different level of connection to what's happening in your dream time. Yeah, it's very, very connecting. So it's very, very powerful.
I had this morning, and I woke up. And I was awake for a little while and decided that I needed to go back to sleep. So I turned on the radio to lull me to sleep, and I went right back to that dream. It was
great.
Wow. Yeah. And it was, and everyone there were all my family. We were all going on a cruise. We were having fun. Mostly the deceased members of my family were there. And, it was really – and here's the interesting thing now. I had heard in 2007 that my late husband was preparing to reincarnate. And in my dream, my mother-in-law was there holding the hand of a three-year-old that had my husband's hair in the back and but was really a person that was big for their age. Like, they looked about seven.
Mm-hmm.
Only knew they were three, and they were holding hands, and it was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel that was my husband.
Wow, that's interesting.
But it was a fun cruise.
If we're talking about dreams, another girl that I know, she was sharing with me the other day that she's been caretaking for these kids for about 6 or 7 years now, and she still watches them in the mornings and gets them off to school and stuff like that. And she has this dream that three of the kids that she watches were going to be put up for adoption. And when she came to go take care of them in the morning, all three of those kids were sick.
Wow.
Very interesting. Yeah, so it was very interesting. And it was those kids that were, you know, not feeling well. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I know. So I had heard really wonderful guidance that, especially for kids, little kids right now, their vibrations are different than our vibrations. They came in at a higher frequency level. And one of the best things you can do for little ones is just to go to your heart and think of love and have that love feeling and then send love to their hearts as you're cuddling with them. they just feel loved, and then just say, I love you, and, you know, just say, just, you know, just very loving and holding them and just sending them love, love heart energy. What?
Does that work for kitty cats, too?
I think so. I think that would work with anything. What do you think, Gloria?
I can barely hear what Kathy asked.
She said, does that work with kitty cats, too?
Well, I would say so. I would say so, because everything is a different vibrational level.
Yeah. And, you know, we've learned so much about the heart in the last, gosh, 10 years. It's amazing. There's a new movie that came out. Was it this? No, it was last year. It's called The Living Matrix, and it's really all about all the scientific research that they've discovered that the heart itself is actually the main control center for the body. Everybody used to think it was the brain, and it's actually the heart. And if you look at the way the energy centers all fluctuate with them, there's actually the main capacitor. It's kind of cool because we're coming from this very technical level, and we're bringing it back to the body to be able to have people understand on a certain level what that is. But the main processor is the heart, and then it goes into the different levels. So the brain is just kind of a sub-processor. So it's very interesting. Very interesting.
Well, if you think about it, the heart is the one that beats. It sends out the vibrations.
So there's just certain levels of our cognitive processing and stuff that we do with the brain, with the cranium, and all that stuff. So. But
right.
Other than that, a lot of it. And you know, there's also talk about how cells. Each cell has its own thought processes, and it has its own ways that it functions. Bruce Lipton's done all kinds of research because he started out as a cellular, you know. Specialist, because he was actually one of the first ones to split cells and get into cellular constructions and different things like that, working with cells. And he's got two or three programs that talk about the consciousness of just cells and how cells are actually civilizations and communities within our bodies, and what does that look like when it comes to a level of, you know, learning the principles of cell civilizations, and then how that looks in the body, and then making it micro and then into a macro with looking at the planet. So it's very interesting.
But we all have the same system, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Cells,
ultimately.
And universes and solar systems.
Mm-hmm.
And all. We all have, and doggies and kitties, and we all have the same system.
We were talking about that before we got live on the air, and Gloria was, we were sharing about Earth and all that, and we were talking about how we're all algae. We're a bunch of algae on the planet, so there you go.
Algae, phytoplankton.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
We're expanding on the Earth and using up and eating up all the resources.
I was at a business meeting today, and our guest speaker was one of these guys that does surf pro, where they go in and they will take out the mold in a building or something like that. And it was amazing because he was talking about all these dynamics of mold and how mold needs to have a certain kind of climate. It has to have food. It has to have air in a certain way. And it just thrives. And I'm just thinking, wow, here we go. You know, we're, you know, like you're saying, you know, either algae, mold, whatever. We're all kind of that, just a life source form here. It's very interesting. You know, what keeps something alive and things like that too. And you know, we were also sharing about they've got all these, since we've done so much studying about our solar system, just the new appreciation of the Earth and the fact that it's such a delicately balanced within our universe, in our solar system, that a few degrees one way or another, and we wouldn't be able to have a habitat that we'd be able to survive. And we're not talking that much, because, I mean, the closest thing to us would be Venus, and Venus is just constantly has all these volcanoes and eruptions and things like that that have basically made it someplace that you can't even survive on it. So we're just so fortunate that we have rain, because rain is one of those things that helps to cool down the planet, and it filters all the air and stuff like that, so we still have something that's, you know, we can be able to survive on it. So we're very, very blessed when we look at just on a universal level, you know.
Well,
galactic level where we are in this beautiful little blue planet.
That's big blue marble.
Big blue, the big blue marble. Yeah, yeah. So it just makes you humble very quickly when you see the vastness of everything and, you know, how
And you know what's
so
really kind of humbling is to think that you really hadn't seen the Earth from space until, like, 1968 or so when one of the Apollo missions went to the other side of the moon and came back, and they actually had a film of Earthrise, I guess they'd call it, and then actually that type of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you may have had some satellites that have taken photos, but nothing like from man perspective and actually a man taking a photograph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have come so far.
And then they had the big conspiracy where they were just saying it was in a sound stage and then it really didn't happen, you know, and they had all that stuff where they had to prove the authenticity of it actually happening. It's pretty funny.
Still people that believe that. And then there was even a movie with O.J. Simpson. It was called Capricorn One, where they were faking a Mars expedition.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's one with the but that is one of the conspiracies that we'd never gone to the moon. It was all staged.
Well, right. You know, Mythbusters. Mythbusters has, you know, basically busted that myth. So there you go. They were proving with all the angles and all that
the
about
photographs,
doing gravity.
I guess, that were taken, and how there were some sort of crystal structures that were on the moon and lots of other strange kind of things.
I remember when the moon rocks came back and having them in quarantine and how they were so worried that there would be some kind of alien, you know, substances or something that could contaminate the planet and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting. Of course, that's, you know, you gotta think about that. You always, you know, think about how
I was also reading in the paper about how China has now developed a deep sea, they call them like a deep sea vehicle that they can explore the ocean bottom. And like they're saying, there's these great resources and mineral. They call them aquanauts. That's what they were calling these. And that they've determined that there's a vast fortune in minerals and oil, but it's in the deep sea. And they've staked claim to the area around them. As far as Russia, we're doing the same thing. They've kind of gone into the ocean and staked a claim down there as far as the land goes, but I guess it would be their land. But they're going to
how they're going to develop
it would be a little different, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, like, you know, in the
Go for it.
I was just remembering back in the late 60s how they did, there was just like this whole series of movies and stuff that they did that it was all this like futuristic stuff where everybody was living under the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Yeah, they had like quite a few of them come out all of a sudden that for at least two or three years at the end of the 60s where everybody was, you know, where everybody was all happy and we're all living under the ocean, these big bubbles of air.
Right.
I'm thinking, I don't want to do that. You got a crack in your ceiling and you're just not going to have a good day. Okay, that's just not too good. Fish for lunch just takes on a totally different meaning when you've got that going on, you know.
How about this civilization underground? You know,
underground too. Same thing. Yeah. Mhm.
And who is it that? Who's the one that was at the North Pole? Bird, Admiral Byrd. Is that who that was?
I don't know. Was it Byrd? What do you know, Jamie? Who was that?
I think it would be Byrd, right? The one that got there first. You mean?
Yeah.
I think it was Admiral Byrd, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he was invited underground, and he went underground. You wrote about it?
I don't know about it.
There was like this whole civilization that lived under the ground. It was like, wasn't that a Jules Verne story?
Yes.
Jules Verne is a very interesting man. He sure has
the
imagination, didn't he? Oh, my God.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because when you look at that story and then compare it to the underground clay city that the Chinese had,
mm-hmm.
it's just amazing if you were to look at any of the correlations of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's to say he didn't find out about that and then just incorporate it into his story? You know how that goes.
Exactly.
Yeah, he just got inspired, and you know.
Yeah, Admiral Byrd has actually written nonfiction about that.
It's a nonfiction?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
What's
it called, you know?
No, I don't know.
My Life Under the Pole?
Oh, that was a good one.
Okay.
The Secret Diary of Admiral Byrd. That's what Debbie Donovan was telling me about that the other day.
I read it today.
Okay.
And they said, what do you do if you ever get attacked by a circus?
But
go for the juggler.
Oh, that's good. That's good, Gloria. Go for the juggler. Oh, that's really good.
And also,
we need to order dessert, guys. It's like we got just like about 20 minutes left here. We need to think about dessert. What's for dessert, Kathy?
Okay, but before you do that, did you know that
I'm juggling dessert. Huh?
There's a nationality of people that are called Cretans.
Okay.
Or Cretans.
Cretans.
You know, and I know, it's Cretans, and I'm assuming that they come from the Isle of Crete.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
But you think about the term, it's like, who wants to be called a Cretan?
That's true.
Okay.
So what are our Yes, what are our dessert choices?
Mud pie. Uh-huh. And cake in a pan.
Huh?
Is cake served with ice cream or rhubarb or strawberry rhubarb.
Ooh, cake in a pan? Okay.
The P-A-N pan, you know, like you cook
mm-hmm.
it in.
Mm-hmm. Peter Pan, okay. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I see that on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And the menu says it's famous.
The cake in a pan?
Yeah.
I wonder if we can get more than one topping. That's some, because that rhubarb strawberry sounds interesting.
Yeah. Have you ever had strawberry rhubarb pie?
I have.
What exactly is rhubarb? Is that a fruit?
Rhubarb? No, rhubarb is like
a
root.
It's a green. It's a vegetable, right?
Yeah, it's kind of green and red. Yeah, it's got a red, when it's mature, it's a red.
Vegetable, but I guess you're right.
Is it kind of like
a rhubarb a vegetable? Yeah.
Juicy, or is it kind of jelly-like, like aloe vera style, like that style?
No, I think it's just like celery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like celery, but then they put sugar and stuff with it.
And if you eat it raw, that's where they got sweet tarts from. And sweet tarts, the tart part, they actually added sugar compared to rhubarb. Rhubarb is really tart.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just have sweet tarts on top of my cake.
Oh.
We'll do sweet tarts.
I think I'll go for the mud pie.
The mud pie? Okay, we'll do a mud pie, and then we'll get one of those cake in the pan things going on there.
My dad, my father was really, his hobby was baking pies, and he loved the strawberry rhubarb pies, and so
uh-huh.
he grew his own rhubarb in the flower bed.
Oh, wow. Does it flower?
No.
Does rhubarb flower? No?
Looks like celery.
It just gets stocky, huh?
Big leaves.
So.
It's picture a cactus that spreads out from the base, but make it
uh-huh.
soft like celery.
Oh.
And it's got a huge, it's got a long red stem. It turns red as it gets ripened. And then it It has a big red vein on the underside of it that goes up, and the leaf extends. You know how an oak leaf is kind of bushy?
Mm-hmm.
The edge, you could almost mistake it for chard. Are you familiar with chard?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like big and bushy like chard, but it's a very deep green, and it's got red veins through it. And
mm-hmm.
you really don't want to eat the leaves.
Okay. We don't want rhubarb leaf pie.
Well, no, the leaf can be detrimental to your health.
Ooh.
Okay, we're not eating that part. Well, it's kind of like artichokes. I mean, you know, there's certain things you eat and certain things you just don't eat. There you go. You know? So
artichokes are good.
Artichokes are good, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you put some cheese and other stuff with it. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got a little dip, and then you know how it goes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the artichoke dip, yeah. Down
mm-hmm.
here in California, we have it where Mimi's has one of the best artichoke dips around, I'll tell you.
Mm,
you know.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter Katie and I, we made it our life mission to figure out which one was the best local restaurant who had it. And Mimi's is it. Okay, just so you get that. Okay. we sacrificed to make sure that we, you know, we was a part of our mission in life to figure that out, and now we know. So that's good.
So whenever you go to your birthday,
you let them know it's your birthday at Mimi's, you always get some kind of a gift card, which is either a free appetizer or a free dessert. So the next time you come back, you can use one of those things. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So, you know, I usually put those in my little wallet, and every once in a while you're just like, oh, look at that. I've got a free coupon for some.
Do you ever have the artichoke hearts roasted?
Yes.
Okay,
enough of that. I know, got a little dip. We've already had our appetizer. We can do that.
I know, I'm starting to salivate already here.
I had also seen that President Obama has written a kid's book.
Oh, yeah?
Did you guys know that? Yeah.
He said it a while back, right?
Well, he's written two books, but they were while he was before and during the time he was campaigning. But when he had already been voted in as president, but he hadn't done his inauguration yet, he wrote a book called A Letter to My Daughters.
Oh.
So it's actually coming out, I think, pretty quick here. I think it's coming out in October. And it's basically a book that talks about being a patriot and what it's like to be an American. And he lists all different kinds of people that he writes the letter about with. Washington and just, you know, and then different women, Betsy Ross and some of the first historical, you know, characters in our history, and then moving it into just some of the different histories of the United States. It's pretty cool, pretty cool. So, you know, they're saying he's the first sitting president to have a kid's book published.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Let's send love light to him.
To Mr. Obama. Mr. President Obama, yes. Yes, yes. Thank you for all of his hard work he's doing. And then Jimmy Carter was, he wrote books, kids' books, but he did it after he was out of office. So we have had presidents, Teddy Roosevelt and Jimmy were both people who wrote kids' books, but it was either before or after they became president. That's kind of interesting. Yeah, but I thought that was pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to that because the illustrator is well known in kids drawing and stuff like that. So I look forward to having that come out and look at it. So it should be in your bookstore pretty quick. So that's pretty cool. Do any of you guys before? Oh yeah, for sure. It's one of those got to have. I like the book from the president for Christmas. That's all I want.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
All these
kids are going to be banging down the door to get their book from Santa. You know that. Sorry.
It's Christmas time already.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't know. I can remember my mom would always have pretty much all of her Christmas shopping done by Halloween. which amazed me. I was just like, wow, mom's been at it, man. And so it was cute because as she got older, she would gift wrap them and she'd hide them in her closet and then she'd pull them out and she'd have people's names on them and she wouldn't remember what she'd bought because she'd be buying all year long. So when we got to Christmas, everybody would open up and she goes, oh, what'd you get? It was as fun for her as it was everybody else because she never remembered what she gave anybody.
Now,
so we'd always laugh at her because she was just loving it. So that's good.
Did you open one present before Christmas time, or
Christmas Eve we open our presents. So
oh, you
Christmas.
Don't? Okay. You wasn't
well,
like
we did
you'd wait
yeah,
till
we did Christmas
Day
Eve.
In the
no,
morning
we did,
to get up
no,
and do it.
No, no, no. That's Santa
or
Claus.
Or else it was like,
we're
you would,
Santa stuff. Yeah, that's
you would stay up till late and fall asleep, and then if you were older, you'd be awake anyway because all the little kids are sleeping, and I don't know. It was always something.
You know, the best thing I ever heard as a mom was when Jimmy said he was sick. He says, I'm going to bed early tonight. Because the earlier I go to bed, the sooner Christmas will come.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
The best Christmas I ever had when I was little, you know, and it's all about the presents, of course, when you're little, was one year we lived in Omaha, and we had gone back to Ohio to visit Grandma and Grandpa. And we had Christmas with Grandma and Grandpa, and when we came home, which would have been like, pretty close to New Year's Eve, we came in the house and it was Christmas all over again. Santa had come and left Christmas presents under the tree. So we had two Christmases that year. I know. I was like, yeah. I'm never going to forget that one. That was like an awesome Christmas. You're like, woo, look at that.
I have one of my brothers is born on Christmas Eve. His name is Noel. So he always gets a special Christmas dinner plate.
Was he older or younger than you?
Oh, he's my second brother. He's older. He's about 10. Well, he's 60, 61 already, so he's about 10, 11 years, about 10 years older.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So you aren't around to rush off to the hospital.
What was that?
You weren't around when they had to rush off to the hospital.
Oh, no.
So he wasn't even a twinkle in anybody's eye at that point. There we go.
Nope.
It was just a gleam. It was a glimmer.
Yeah. It was one of those profound things for the future. Yeah, he was on a vision board. Yeah, they were working later on for that one. Okay. a future vision. So very cool. Hey, have any of you guys been watching America's Got Talent?
Uh-oh.
No. Okay. There's this group that they've had on this season that's called Defying Gravity. And it's kind of like, have you guys watched the guys who do the Blue Man Group?
Right.
I did see that. They had that on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty cool. What they do is they do kind of a whole glow-in-the-dark kind of thing with these guys. And there's like, I don't know, 15 of them. And most of them are all dressed in black. And then they have these. The three of the guys are up front, and they wear these hoodie outfits with sweatpants that are glow-in-the-dark, and they have all these different things that they're doing, and it looks like they're defying gravity. They're, like, floating around and doing all those different kinds of stuff. I thought of it because when you guys were talking about going to space and all that, the last one that they did on America's Got Talent was all about, you know, landing on the moon, and they had all these moon rocks and stuff that were floating all over the stage, and they were doing different stuff with the moon rocks.
Wow.
It was pretty interesting. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I definitely think it's something that they're going to, because the whole idea of America's Got Talent is they want to find somebody or some kind of an act that can go to Las Vegas and have their own show. And these guys will totally be able to do something with the show because it's just so different. It's very, very cool. Very, very cool. So anybody wants to check that out, I'm sure you can go to YouTube and look at Defying Gravity with America's Got Talent. I'm sure they probably have it out there. So
that's
I'm trying
cool.
to think of what's – it's very cool. It's very, very cool. It's very different, too. And then they
and
have
as a,
that
– as a plug, they also have it on Hulu.
Oh, do they?
Oh.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And you know what? If I were the guys doing Blue Man, I would totally get those guys a part of their show. You know, just incorporated into a new developed show where they're both doing something together, which would be totally cool. because the Blue Man is just very, very fun. I like Blue Man because it's bringing together music and science and all that different kinds of stuff together. So it's very fun. They really
fun experience.
Yes, it's a very fun experience to go to a Blue Man group. So if nobody's ever done Blue Man, it's very fun. It's very fun. It's very playful and fun and imaginative. They do a lot of really unique things with that kind of stuff. So very cool. Very cool. So any other amazing things you guys have been checking out for the last week or so?
Tell us about Venice, Robin.
One of the girls that has been helping me out at the flower shop forever, her name's Chrissy, she is going to be moving to New York State, and she's actually been living up in the Niagara Falls area. She's got her guy, and they're going to be moving up there and living together. So she had never been to Venice Beach. So about 3 weeks ago, she went to Venice Beach with some of her nieces and nephews, and her and I were sharing about that, and we just wanted to have a girls' night out before she takes off. So I said, gosh, we'll go back to Venice Beach. And she was so excited because she wanted to go back and get some souvenirs, so she had some stuff to take with her. And I had never been to Venice Beach. And it was just so interesting to go there. It was like going into the 60s. It was so retro. It was all the tidy T-shirts and it was interesting because Kathy and I are walking down the boardwalk and we're looking over because the ocean is right there.
How was the weather?
The weather was like coming to San Francisco.
Oh.
This big fog rolled in, and it was cold, and it was just like being in San Francisco. It was so interesting. And then here we're looking at all this stuff from, this, all the 60s, retro stuff, and we're like, wow, where are we?
A lot of water pipe shops.
There was a lot of hemp, product going on over there. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And there's like 5 medical marijuana shops, and they all yelled at us that the doctor is in. The doctor is in.
We all look at each other, yeah, I bet he is. What's nice is, too, is because Kathy was telling me about the canals they have in Venice Beach. And we went out of our way to drive around some of the little residential areas that were 2 or 3 blocks away from the pier area. And, oh, my gosh, those canals are so charming. They're just very, 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 very cool. Like there'd be little kayaks floating out there in the canal, and everybody'd have their little hedges, and the houses were all made nice to where you could have a front patio and be able to just sit there in the evening and be right there in front of the canal. Just looked like a very pleasant, place to hang out and do that.
Valentine's Day that came out this year. Set in Venice.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they lived on a canal.
Oh, they did. Oh, see, I didn't watch that one, so there you go. Actually, it's always funny when they have movies like that, when it has any kind of a major holiday and they've got anybody who's involved in floristry, I always just, roll my eyes because it's, it's kind of like when they have a wedding and the person pulls the cake out of the back of the van, and it's all, fully put together, and they just put it down on the table like that's how it happens. Because 9 times out of 10, when they put a cake together, it's usually in pieces, and they put it together when they get it there. So it's kind of funny, depending on how they do cakes. So it's very interesting the way that Hollywood portrays some of the, different services and stuff that go on. So we just kind of look at each other and laugh and go, in Hollywood they do that. They just pull it out of the van and put it on the table. There we go. Okay.
In Valentine's Day, the main character was a florist, and, man, it looked pretty realistic.
Oh, really? I'll have to watch it. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch it, yeah. Let you know. So there you go. Were they like crazy and running around and everybody's trying to buy flowers and it's just chaotic?
Oh, no.
Was that the way it was?
Yeah.
Now? Oh, was it? Yeah. I was watching a movie that one of the main characters was a florist and she had this crew and all these people were coming to the front door and they were getting flowers and stuff like that. And she was having this issue with a boyfriend or something like that. And she says, okay, well, I need to go take care of something, so I'll be back. It was Valentine's Day, and I was like, there's no way you would be leaving to handle something like that on Valentine's Day.
They
Not on Valentine's Day.
You'd walk back and not even have a store, you know? You're like, no, don't think so. It wouldn't happen. You want to walk away from your business because you're going to do that on that day. Psh, forget it. It's not happening. So there you go.
Yeah, what was really realistic was at the end of the day, when they locked the doors, the whole florist was messy.
Yeah, that's true. It looks like a war zone. It really does when you get all done with all that.
War zone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it will look like a war zone when you're all done with all that, yeah. So, and it's all these, all you know, and, you know, it's nothing against guys, but guys wait till last minute, you know?
Yeah,
like, oh,
you know.
Valentine's Day, I got to go, you know, so it's having to handle all these little, it's like putting out fires all day when you've got Valentine's Day, because it's such a, it's more male to female, you know, not that women, not that many women do flowers for, you know, their guys, so it's very interesting.
Okay. You know why it's last minute, though, I guess.
Why?
When you study, there's a gal who does a workshop about relationships between men and women, and one of the statements that she says, because she says that women can multitask, the brain will multi-focus, so it'll multitask, whereas guys are very singularly focused. And so one of the examples she gives is, she said, you know, lady, she said, you think that your boyfriends are watching football and ignoring you, and that's impossible because they can only do one thing.
Wow. They're not even knowing you're there. They can only focus on the football.
So it has nothing to do personally with being ignored.
Hey, Jamie, is that true?
He's not going to say. He's thinking about it.
I couldn't understand. I mean, they've got one focus, and then they're not ignoring you. They're just not ignoring you. Ignoring you. Right.
She's saying that there's no way that they could be ignoring you because they can only focus on one thing. And if they're watching the football game, they can't be doing two things because that would be...
And one would not be ignoring you because they would be
ignoring you.
He's agreeing with you in his own way.
Yeah, I know. She gives a really good thing. It's the PAX system. It's PAX Incorporated, I think. But her first name is Allison, and I've forgotten her last name. But it's really good stuff, the stuff I've listened to on her programs.
Oh, okay. Right. System. Okay.
So that's why. Because at the last minute, they're going, okay, focus. Okay, focus, focus, focus. Oh, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Oh, focus on that. So.
Yeah.
When do you do your Christmas shopping?
Me?
Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Jamie. She's asking Jamie when he does his Christmas shopping.
Well, you know, I'm not really, I probably... buy some things for my wife, but I always give her stuff all through the year, so we kind of mix up for it. Christmas, you know, we celebrate each other and we have fun, but we have so much stuff already, you know. It's kind of hard to find things for me, for sure, but I usually get a gift certificate or something like that. That always works.
Okay,
well, my question is, what, do you do it on Christmas Eve?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, I try not to. We try to kind of cocoon during the holidays, so we don't try not to go out or anything.
That's always good because it's so crazy. Well, down to our last minute, you guys. We need to make sure that the our dessert gets put into the little doggy bags. I wasn't even where we're taking our dessert with us. So how come we just need to be eating more? We just get into these great conversations, and then we figure we gotta switch gears here. So there you go. But that's not good. Okay. No good on that. So thanks to all you guys for coming, and we'll definitely be here next week with the Transformation Cafe. So if there's anybody out there who has any kind of special topics they'd like us to be looking at, we definitely would encourage everybody to be able to do that. And we look forward to talking to you next time at the cafe.
All right, take care.
You too. Yay. Thanks for coming.
All right, goodbye.
Filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.